I have written on the last page of the Old Testament, the close of the book of Malachi, a little quote from E. Stanley Jones. It says, "The kingdom of God is within you. If you cooperate with it, you will come into the fullness of life. If you resist it, it will grind you into powder." I want to read to you a portion from that book of Malachi, which is the last book of the Old Testament. You know, so much of what God said to his prophets and through his prophets had a twofold meaning. He would tell a picture story. And in the case of Malachi, he's dealing with the nation of Israel that has turned away from God. God had revealed his love to the whole nation of Israel. And the nation had turned away from the Father. And God likens that to a mate that turns from his wife, or a wife that turns from her husband. He likens it to an adulterous situation. You know, God makes a difference. He differentiates between adultery and fornication. Fornication being an event, adultery being a relationship. And God says you can't serve two masters. That's the reason God comes down so hard on adultery. He likens adultery with idolatry. Because he says you can't serve God and an idol at the same time. And he said in an adulterous situation, you can't have two wives or two husbands. You can have only one, because sooner or later you will be drawn to the one. And you will always be drawn away from the true one. That's the reason he's so hard on the concept of idolatry. God is constantly coming down on the idolater, the person who says, "I can worship God and then go off and worship Baal at the same time, or worship money at the same time." He says, "You can't do that. You can't serve God and mammon." And so he comes down hard on this whole concept of unfaithfulness, because he's not talking about the event now. He's not talking about the person who slips here and then comes back. He's not talking about the person whose face is toward God, but who will step off the road. He's talking about the person who deliberately says, "I will walk both paths at the same time. I will serve two masters or two mistresses." Let me read to you. This is the second chapter of the book of Malachi, beginning with verse 10. "Have we not all one Father? Did not one God create us? Why do we profane the covenant of our fathers by breaking faith with one another? Why do we profane the covenant of our fathers by breaking faith with one another?" Now, hold on to the concept there for a minute. Because God says that the horizontal relationship is like the vertical relationship. When we enter into a covenant relationship with the church, with friends, in business, or in marriage, that God holds those vows very, very sacred when we enter into that. And he says that the covenant that we enter into will either augment our relationship with God or it'll break our relationship with God. That's the reason that all throughout the Bible we find this concept of vows being so extremely important. Moses says in Deuteronomy, the 23rd chapter, if a man vows a vow, God's going to require it of him. Later he says in Ecclesiastes, where Solomon says, it's better not to make a vow than to make it and to break it, because God is going to require that thing. You enter into a business relationship, God requires the fulfillment of that business relationship. In Psalm 15, God says he blesses the man who swears to his own hurt and changes not. He enters into a business relationship. He says, "I'm going to paint your house for $300. And then he goes out and he finds out that the price of paint has gone up. It's going to cost him more money. But he goes ahead and does the job for $300, because that was the vow. That was the promise. It's the concept of, I have shaken hands on this, and my word is as good as my bond. And I will do it even if it costs me something. I will do it because I will change not. I will not break down the vow. God holds those vows very dearly. Now, when it comes to the marriage relationship, that's where it really gets tough. In business, you can come and go, but in marriage, you can't do that. In marriage, you've got it all the time. And it's marriage is the toughest of all the relationships, except for the relationship with God. It's interesting to hear Alan say just then that as the relationship with God went sour, the relationship with his wife went sour at the same time. As he began to worship other gods, the god of money, it was very easy to worship another woman at the same time. Because the two go hand in hand, because he had already become an idolater. And he had already turned away from God, therefore he could go any direction he wanted to. Now there was nothing, there was no main point, no stake to hold him down. Because all of that had gone away. Have we not all one Father? Did not one God create us? Why do we profane the covenant of our fathers by breaking faith with one another? Now, Judah has broken faith, he says. The whole kingdom. Judah has broken faith. A detestable thing has been committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. Judah has desecrated the sanctuary the Lord loves by marrying the daughter of a foreign god. Now he's likening this whole concept of the marriage relationship with our relationship with God. And Judah, he says, has essentially gone a-whoring, marrying the daughter of a foreign god. As the man who does this, as for the man who does this, whoever he may be, may the Lord cut him off from the tents of Jacob, even though he brings offerings to the Lord Almighty. You can't buy your way out of this situation. Another thing you do, you flood the Lord's altar with tears. You weep and wail because he no longer pays attention to your offerings or accepts them with pleasure from your hands. You ask why? That's because the Lord is acting as the witness between you and the wife of your youth. Because you have broken faith with her, though she is your partner, the wife of your marriage covenant. Has not the Lord made them one? In flesh and spirit they're his. And why one? Because he was seeking godly offspring. So guard yourself in the spirit and do not break faith with the wife of your youth. I hate divorce, says the Lord God of Israel. I hate a man's covering himself with violence as well as with his garment, says the Lord Almighty. So guard yourself in the spirit and do not break faith. Now, I recognize that all of this is tied in. Malachi is talking about a man's relationship with God, but he says the horizontal relationships are identical to this. God said, I don't want to see relationships broken. If you want to bless God, you bless God by hanging in a tough situation. When it gets tough, you say, I will stay. Even if I die, I will stay. Because God will bless that where you honor him. I'm hearing Bob Mumford say several years ago, he says, God doesn't forgive poison ivy. There are some things that need to be cleansed. Now, that's what Alan was talking about a few minutes ago. When he came back out of this situation, there are some things that needed to be cleansed. There were some things that needed to be, you stay away from the poison ivy vine. You wash it off of you. You go through the cleansing process. You don't find yourself back in the same situation with that. Later on, in Malachi, over in the third chapter, God says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your land, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before its time in the field. I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. If you turn in this direction, then God goes to work for you, and he begins to fight the battle for you all the way through. I said to my friend last weekend, as he was struggling and we were talking about the pain that he was going through in his own life. And he said, what should I do? He said, my wife has divorced me. She doesn't want to live with me anymore. He said, what do I do? He said, I'm young. He said, there's still a lot of life in me. He said, I need companionship. What should I do? Before God, what should I do? Should I go off and be a hermit the rest of my life? Should I go to the hospital and get neutered? What do I do? What do I do with the normal drives that I have inside of me with this? What do I do with my deep desire to have a relationship with another woman? What do I do? And we talk for a little bit about love. Love, you see, is not a feeling. Love is an act. Love is something you will to do. A man says, I fall in love with three different women at the same time. You can't fall in love with three different women. You don't fall in love anyway. You will yourself to love. And you can will yourself to love whether there is no relationship or not. The fact that a woman has said, I don't want to see you anymore, does not mean that you can't love her anymore. You can love her. As an act of your will, you can love her. God says this is what he has done with us. We have said to him, I don't want to be around you anymore, God. I'm going to do it my way, thank you. Leave me alone, God. We divorce ourselves from God. And how does God react to our divorce? He says, in that while you were yet sinning, Christ died for us. He showed his greatest love for us in that while we were choosing to go our own way, he continued to love us from afar. He loves. As an act of his will, he loves and he loves and he loves and he loves. That's the way God treats us. How then should we treat one another? We treat one another the way God treats us. That's the highest of all of the actions. We treat one another with love. It's what God is calling us to do. And so I said to my friend last weekend, I said, you really can't control your wife's feelings. She has said, I no longer feel for you. I don't have any romantic feelings for you. I don't want to be around you anymore. I'm going to go my own way. I want to find a younger man to be with. And that's exactly what she's done. At 42, she's found a 22. Because she thinks that's where life is going to come from. You've got a kid to sleep with. That's what she's wound up with. And he said, I don't know how to handle that. I don't know how to handle the fact that my wife is dating somebody who is younger than my daughter. Well, what do I do with this? I said, well, I can tell you the ideal. Whether you can do it or not, I don't know. But I can tell you what God said. God says you love her. You love her. That has nothing to do with your feelings inside. You're angry and upset and bitter. Those are all feelings. But your face remains toward her. You love her. It's the toughest of all times. But you love. He says, do I love forever? I said, yeah. I says, there will come a time, I believe, and she will be the one to determine that. When that love becomes useless. It'll be totally rejected, almost the unpardonable kind of thing. If she decides to marry somebody else, then the door is closed, and that's it. And there's no sense pursuing that any longer. But until then, you can love her. He said, does this mean I don't have other relationships? I said, no, I don't think it means that at all. I think you need to have some relationships with some other people, but you don't love. You will yourself to love the person that you made your vows to. Now, that's tough stuff, and I understand that. But I believe that someplace down the line, God honors his word. That's what it amounts to. And if you can stay with it, walk it out, God will honor it. Some of you are in very bad relationships. And God says if you will love, he will love that person. Your wife, your husband, even though it's a very bad relationship, if you will love, there's a whole definition of love over in the New Testament. If you will simply love the way God loves you, there is an honor that begins to happen. God begins to honor that situation. Now, what happens if the whole thing falls apart? and there's no way. What do you do where you are now with your situation? I say, well, let me tell you what I do. I said, I think God wants us to fight divorce right down to the very line. Right to the end, we will fight it. We will not approve of it. We will not bless it. We will not have divorce services in this church. We'll not have all that kind of junk that the world is doing out there today to bless and honor the divorce. We will not do it. We will look upon it as death. We will look upon it as an enemy. It'll always be an enemy because God says, I hate it. He hates that kind of separation where vows are broken. But if it happens, and if the whole thing is, you can't help it, what happens? Well, what happens is the coin turns over. And on the other side of that coin, where God says, I hate divorce, God says, I love the divorcee. I love the person who is involved. And he picks it up from that point, and he says, now, we move from this point on. That's the reason I said to Alan Pavey, who did not go through a divorce, but he might as well have. He had left the wife of his youth. He had broken the relationship. It didn't make any difference whether he signed legal papers. He'd walked away from it. And in the process of walking away from it, he left his wife uncovered, and she was attacked by the devil, and the devil immediately went to the weakest spot, and cancer appeared in her body. I believe that. That's what happens in the spiritual realms. And I told them both when they were here, I said, not only will Alan, will you die, but your wife will die also. Because you have stepped out of God's blessing and out of God's covering, and now you're free game for Satan to destroy any way he wants to. I believe that. But what happens when it's all done? And God says, I take it right where it is. Wherever you are tonight, in your messed up situation, in your divorce situation, it doesn't make any difference. God is always starting over right this moment from where you are. And that's the other side of that coin. The wonderful, beautiful side of it, of God saying, I will not hold you accountable for that which has happened. I will hold you accountable only for the direction that your life is faced today. Which way is your face tonight? If you will turn your face toward God tonight, and he will pick you up from that point, and you will remember not the former things, because God is still making a way through them. Wilderness, and there's springs in the desert, and they'll appear. And you're not to be held accountable for that which you did. That's over. But I need to say to you, you are accountable for what you are about to do. That you can control. That you can change. Everything else through repentance comes under the blood of Jesus, and it's forgotten. It's past. You can pick it up and start over. But for that which you are about to do, God holds you accountable. There's a marvelous story in the book of Hosea, which we will not get into tonight, where God does the same thing with the prophet Hosea as he did with the prophet Malachi. God said to Hosea, said, I want you to go out and I want you to marry a woman. A woman who's been unfaithful to her husband. I want you to marry a street woman, prostitute. Because I want to show you something, and I want to show the whole nation of Israel something about this. And so Hosea went out and found Gomer on the streets, selling her body. And he took her in and he blessed her. And there was something beautiful and new began to happen in that relationship. And she bore him children. And the family was beginning to come together. But Hosea was not a materialist. He was poor. He was not a man to lavish things upon his wife as she wanted. And Gomer said, I will go after my lovers. Give me my food and my water and my wool and my linen, my oil and my drink. And God said, if she does it, I will block her path with thorn bushes, and I will wall her in so that she cannot find her way. And And she will chase after her lovers but not catch them. And she will look for them but not find them. And then perhaps she will say, I will go back to my husband as at first, for then I was better off than now. That's what I heard Alan Pavey sing a moment ago. God began to block every area until finally took away the last God he had, the God of money. Blocked his path with thorn bushes until he had no choice but to return both to the God and to the wife of his youth. Gomer left, turned away, and God said to Hosea, go find her. He looked far across the land and found her one day. She was on the slave block. She had gone from being simply a street prostitute to becoming a slave, and she was being offered for slaves. And God said to Hosea, go buy her off the slave block. Makes no difference what she's done with her life. Purchase her for a price. And he did, for 10 bushels of barley, he bought her back. And the Lord said, go show your love to your wife again, and though she is loved by another and isn't adulterous, love her as the Lord loves the Israelites. And though they turn to other gods and love the sacred raisin cakes. So Hosea said, I bought her back for 15 shekels of silver and 10 bushels of barley, and I told her, live with me. Do not be a prostitute or be intimate with any man. And I will live and I will walk with you. And God said, when that happens, she will call you my husband. And she will no longer call man my master. And she will call me my God. God is always reaching out. Always healing, always restoring relationships. And I'd like for you tonight to just grow quiet for a minute and consider where you are. Let's don't give thought to what's happened. Some of you have been through marriage after marriage, divorce after divorce. Some of you have been through relationship after relationship. You reach the place to where you say, I'm not sure I can love anybody anymore. I'm so hurt, so wounded. Pastor called me last night from Phoenix. Just desperate. He was in his study in his church. He said, would you call my wife? He said, I just can't go on any longer. He says, we're living together, but we're not living together. He said, I haven't slept with her in 7 years, 8 years. He said, it's all a facade. He said, I just can't go on any longer. So I called her last night at her house. She was very gracious and nice. I said, Marilyn, there is a way back, you know. She said, I've been through counseling. I've been to all kinds of doctors and psychiatrists. She said, everybody's making me confront my husband. I hate him. I don't want to live with him any longer, but I'll do it for the sake of the ministry. I said, there's a way out. She said, what is it? I said, why don't you get quiet? And why don't you take a retreat? Why don't you go off 30 days into the desert? Not to try to put your marriage back together, but just to seek God. Just seek God. What is God saying to you? She said, I can't do that. And I said, why? Because she says, I know what he would say to me. Are you willing to turn your face to him? That's all he's asking. Just turn your face to God. Bow your heads with me for a moment, please. There's some of you here tonight who are struggling with a relationship with God or a relationship with your partner. If there's tension inside the relationship, and if you're willing to simply say tonight, I will turn my face to God. I don't see what can happen in this relationship, this earthly relationship. But I will turn my face to God. I will do that. If you're willing to do that, would you get up and come down here and kneel across this front for a moment? We're all hurting here tonight, and we understand that. We're just going to lay hands on you and touch you for a moment. That's all we're going to do. We're going to agree with you that God's word is true. It's true. What we heard God say to Alan Pavey, life has been put back together, a business has been restored, a marriage has been restored, and now reestablished again in ministry. When we were there in September, we were there when they were setting Alan apart again in ministry from everything lost. It can happen to you, right where you are, right tonight. If you want to slip out and come down here, and we've got some folks who would just like to lay hands on you and pray for you for a minute, just to agree with you. Justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. Character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given to us. You see, at just the very right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man. Though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Let's stand together. Thank you tonight that you're a God of second chances, a God of new beginnings, a God who still makes all things new, a God who wipes the past as though it never were, who washes and cleanses and gives us strength to start again no matter where we are. I thank you for that. I bless you for your love.
poured out to us through Jesus Christ. We receive it tonight. Amen. The Lord bless you as you go.